You ready to come up, Dan?
Morning. You guys have been a good support group for us, and got a good testimony right there. Been through some hard times, and I wanted to do a big old speech, and I knew I wouldn't be able to get very far. I'm going to be crying my face off here, so just appreciate that. You guys, I want you to know that the last year was really hard, and I used to come in here and come to Bible study and talk to these people and ask them to pray for us, and they did, and you're here today, and really thankful for that. And we knew it was right for we knew that God wanted us to be together and have more time. And thanks for all your prayers and support. You guys want to say something? No? Nothing? Too bad. You got to say something. Come on up here. Come on. Come on. Just stand up and come up here. Okay, Jacob, you can come up. She can stay there. Come here. You can speak for both of them. You got to tell them something. What do you want to say? Just say thank you. Just say thank you. Thanks. That's about it. Thanks a lot for all your prayers and support. It's been good. You're not going to get that much out of me. What happened in the end, you mean? Things are all finished up, and we get every other weekend together, and every Wednesday night. And probably some more time, too. Probably some more time in the near future. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dan. As things happen, just for a little clarification, Dan went through a divorce, which I've told you before, there's nothing much more traumatic in a man's life than that, unless it would be in the threat of losing the children. Our country's a little screwed up there. They think that women love children more than men, and that's a lie from hell.
That's right.
And for many years, the court assumed that to be true, and they're finding out that's not true. And courts are being a little more fair now. Not that I give faith in courts, but Dan did ask for a lot of prayer, and we were there to help him a little bit, give him a little boost and a little boot now and then. And God is faithful. And I don't think this is over yet.
Nope, I agree.
I think if there was an attack, I think what we'll find out is that there's still more success to be revealed.
Yes.
And I'm thankful that he was able to bring his children this morning.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that you guys don't look down on big men that can cry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I imagine he'll booty himself later for why didn't I say? But he's not required to say anything. He's required to give the glory to God.
Yes.
And I know that's what he did, and I know that he wanted to do that more so. I know he wanted to thank you, and I know he wanted to thank you more than he did. But he's done enough, except for praising God. I would encourage him to, if you want tremendous success, just keep pouring out the praise to God. Thank people and praise God. Amen? All right. Let's bow our heads right quick and Father, we do praise you right now for being the healer and the Savior, for the mender of all situations and problems, but more than just a mender, someone that mends leaves a scar. You're a healer. You remove traces of enemies and scars and damages. You release us into freedom, yours. We thank you for that. Lord, I raise this family up again. Now, openly, for open agreement, that this is not the end, but this is the beginning. That Dan will be that leader in his family that he needs to be. That you will open the doors for him to insert you into these children. These children will not be a discarded waste because of a court system, but they will be raised up in your likeness and your image so that Dan can give you more praise every day. That they'll be oracles of God now in Jesus' name because of not only this touch, but your touch on their lives from this point forward. That you don't step in and heal things just so the situation is healed, but you have a motive. You have a plan for their lives. And I speak that plan now, even though we don't know it yet, I speak it into existence for your honor and for your glory. Now there's a plan for every life here that has come today. Open the ears and open the heart. Right now, before a word is spoken, touch, begin to heal and begin to cleanse by your Spirit, by that Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, raise dead lives and dead ears and dead hearts. Those that are cold, raise them back into life and that more abundantly now. Not because of any glorious thing we do, but by your Spirit it is done. In Jesus' name, and everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, if you'll get your Bibles and turn to Matthew as an introduction this morning, I want to tell you that I'm going to start another series. That just means I don't know how long it's going to go. We'll go until we get tired, I guess, or we'll learn all we can learn. The name of the series is going to be It's Already There. It's Already There. Now, this one, I don't want Patrick to title these or number these just yet. He can date them. But I'm going to start what I consider the middle, just because I want to approach a subject that needs to be approached right now. Then starting probably next Sunday, I'm going to go back to the beginning and we'll just walk through the Bible and I'll prove to you what God wants me to prove to you. Y'all ready for that?
Yeah.
Well, if you are, it's going to change your lives if you're ready to hear. I promise you. I remember saying, probably not in the best attitude, because sometimes I get real grumpy when God's dealing with me about these things. I'm not a quick changer, and when he punches me and says change, I grumble a bit. I don't complain that I don't want it done. I just don't take it nicely. Now I'm better. I said to the Wednesday night Bible study one night that when we pray, we act like we don't know anything. By the words we speak, we act like we don't understand anything. Therefore, we're not expecting anything. And I hope by the time we get through this series that our new attitude is going to be that we speak from knowledge and understanding. We pray. First, we're supposed to pray for knowledge and understanding. And then if we pray that way, then we should learn to expect that. That he hears and he answers. Maybe the reason we don't get our prayers answered so much is because we pray in amiss, the Bible says, our ignorance. The will of God is good. There's a plan involved, and we need to pray that plan, not what we want.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Today, the name of the sermon, the message is Our Provision is Already There.
Amen.
And I'm going to take one little subject, that's all I'm going to handle today, to show you, well, let's get started and we'll talk about it. I'm going to start today with provision, which includes financing. It includes all the needs that we have. Because of our need for the building and the building project, because there are needs represented here. I just want to make sure our heads are on straight and our understanding is correct about what Jesus and the Father are doing. It's very important for us not to hope about what they're doing. We need to know.
Amen.
The only way to know that is to know that it's already done.
Yes.
Did you know that? See, I can come here and tell you that tomorrow I'm going to start building so-and-so. And you can speak of that in kind of a foggy realm because, well, Stan said he was going to build it. Well, how's he going to do it? Well, I don't know quite yet how that happens. But if we'll read the Bible and understand, with understanding and seeking understanding, then when we can talk about our finances, we know that God has already done something.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have clarity on how to pray.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Okay. Matthew chapter 14. We'll start at verse 13 and go to 22. A very familiar story. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. Ready to hear from the Lord?
Yes.
Samar, Samar. Okay. Matthew 14, 13. The picture is that Jesus had just heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because John the Baptist was important to Jesus. They were close. And this was not exactly the world's best ministry setting. Does that make sense? How many of you have tried to minister when you've been wounded? Now, it's possible if you depend on the right spirit, but if your spirit is strong, many times it's very hard to minister that way. So, Jesus had just gone through a traumatic situation, and in verse 13 it says, when Jesus heard it, he departed there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Jesus never pouted. He went for information. He didn't need to get over anything. He went for information. But when the multitudes heard that he went out here, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them. His first response was, he healed their sick. Now, I'm sure that if one of your loved ones just got beheaded, the first thing you'd want to do is heal somebody. Right? Only if your spirit is totally correct. And I don't know that I can confess mine would be. I'm just wanting to understand that when Jesus talked about being instant in season and out of season, he meant it. He lived it. He healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. Now, I want you to understand what Jesus is saying right here. They do not need to go away. What he's saying is, we have the ability to provide for whatever they need. It's already here. The disciples said, we can't feed them. Jesus said, it's already here. You give them something to eat. Did you see that? You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What did they say? We know nothing. We pray like we know nothing. We're not speaking in the Spirit. We're not speaking in faith. We're not speaking with understanding. We're speaking with fact. And fact will kill you. Bill mentioned about worshiping the law. The law is fact. We never operate in fact. We operate in faith. In verse 18, Jesus said, he said, bring them here to me then. If you won't do it, bring them here to me. No, that's not what he said. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Verse 17, and they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, you see that? And looking up to heaven, he wasn't going to look at the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and the 5,000. There wasn't 5,000 women and children. There was at least 15,000 there. That's what the Scripture says. He didn't look at that problem. He didn't look at that situation. He held up the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and said, I need to tap into some of that. It's already there. What does that mean? Okay, fish. Right. I'm too much in the King James. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. Now listen. He first went to God, and then he handed it right back to the men that said, I can't do it. And then Jesus said, go do it. Now, I got news for you. He didn't hand back to them huge amounts of food. He handed right back to them a little bit of fish, a little bit of bread, and said, now go feed them. What would your response be? Would you respond like you knew nothing? Would you respond like you knew Jesus and heaven? Would you respond like all of my provisions are already here, so I better get to it? Instead of saying, it's still two fish and a little bit of bread, be honest with yourself now. So they all ate, and this is a very important part, and they were all filled. You know why that's in there? To make sure you don't misunderstand that everybody just didn't get a crumb. They all ate, and they all were filled, and after that, they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Fragments are what you and I call leftovers. Now, those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He sent the multitudes away, healed and fed. Now, let me ask you a basic question. He healed them, and there was nothing tangible at all. There was not even loaves and fish. And yet we find that easier to believe than he fed 15,000 people with two fish and a few loaves of bread. Why is that? We've learned over years now to believe in healing. Some of us more than others. But we still have a very difficult time believing that that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead healed, and that same Spirit that heals can provide provisions when they don't exist. We need to get to the point that if we can be saved out of a non-tangible, no, saved by a non-tangible experience, nothing can be proven, nothing can be touched, then we can be healed by that same Spirit or power. Then why can't we pay bills with things that can't be touched? Well, because my mommy told me or my daddy taught me. Well, they didn't know God like you need to know God. Now, this is not a ministry that's going to teach you to write hot checks. Don't go there. Not going to happen. I'm telling you that when you walk with Jesus and you share His vision, it'll be way beyond your vision. And it was already there. Food was made up only by a faith movement. You hear me? You know, I don't have any loaves and fishes, but I got one mint. If my faith is correct, I can take this one mint and I can feed all of you full and we can have all kinds of mints left over. Why? Because our eyes, because you don't believe that quite yet, it's because our eyes have been used to looking at the stinking mint instead of a need that Jesus or God the Father wants to fill. And He's already done the work, the Bible says. So what do? We don't lift our eyes to heaven. We keep our eyes on the provision. And therefore our faith, this is stronger than our faith because our eyes are not on, it's already there. Does that make sense to you? All right, well then let's do it again. Skip on down there to Matthew chapter 15, verse 29. This is part of the Bible that most of you don't even know. Because Jesus didn't do this once, He did it twice. The first story was feeding the 5,000. This one is feeding the 4,000. Let's read again. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain and sat down there. By the way, Jesus probably felt like that was a rough work. I'm glad that's over and don't have to do it again. Isn't that kind of the way human flesh does? The minute we get one job done, we want to sit down. We don't particularly want to do that job over again. Well, here Jesus is. All of a sudden He looks up and then great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet and healed them. And He healed them. And He said, "My work is never done." Which is what our faith needs to say to us. Your work is never done, Stan. Faith walk is forever. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel.
Amen.
Now Jesus called His disciples to Himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. You know why He said that? He didn't have a PA systems, and the stomachs were making a lot of noise. They were getting loud in their grumbling, just their stomachs. Been 3 days now, and they have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Now, maybe we can understand what's already there, waiting, if we understand that it's already there, not just to meet our needs, but it's to meet other people's needs. We don't come to church together to study the Word so that you and I can get fatter on the Word. We have a mission to do, and just like Jesus, I look out there and I see these people, and they need to be fed. Their needs need to be met. Then His disciples said again, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to feed or fill such a multitude? Now listen, guys, this is just a few days after the 5,000. And these are the same disciples. The people were impressed and the disciples weren't. They didn't even remember the last miracle. The people did. They saw people healed, so they brought more sick people. Said, if you can do it once, you can do it twice. Where are we? Where do we stand? How quick do we forget? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7 and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, gave them to His disciples, and disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. He sent away the multitude, got on the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. What I don't understand here, seriously, is how disciples, and I do understand, remember this, let me back up and say this. We have an authority and a power that's much greater than the disciples do. Because if we really believe the Scripture, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me, they didn't have that. They didn't have that Spirit. Now, I know you and I still don't understand that if you saw Jesus break fish and bread or bless fish and bread, and then you actually experience carrying this out and feeding 15,000 people, that it might be easier the second time. And yet the question was the same. Where do we get it? What are we going to do? Why? They still hadn't learned to stop looking at what they had and look up to heaven and see what God has. They hadn't learned it yet. Now, I don't mean to be rude, but are we in that same boat? Turn to Mark chapter 8. It says the same thing in Matthew, but I think it says it a little better in Mark. Mark chapter 8, verse 13. Mark chapter 8, verse 13. And He left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now He looked at them. Listen to me. Why did He look at them and say this? Because He had panic on their face. You think Jesus needs to hear, or do you think He knows? Okay. He looked at them and He already knew what was on their mind. We're going to starve to death. Isn't it amazing how much time we spend worrying about our bellies? Most of them are well cared for. What He was telling them is beware of other teachings and beware of the doubt and unbelief in you. Do you think that was nice, or do you think that was a little? The third time. You know, in my children, if I had to speak to them the third time, there was going to be a little pain involved. This is the third time. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread, he's getting after us. You got that? Jesus corrected them, and they understood it to be because we forgot the bread. These were really spiritually enlightened men. The reason I say that is I want us all to have hope. I believe many times where we live and how we operate and the day we are, the presence of the Spirit, we actually are greater men of God than the disciples of Jesus Christ. Or at least we have that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Verse 17, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? He looked at them and he didn't hear them, but he said, why are you talking like that? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Come on now, third time. He says, am I ever going to get through to you? You've seen it, you've heard it, you've felt it, you've touched it, and you still don't understand? Then he said, is your heart still hardened? Oh, now we're getting personal here. He says, maybe it's because you've got a hard heart. Here's what he said. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? That's a long sentence saying, dummy. How is it you do not understand? Now, I'm going to talk to you for a second. How many things, miracles, signs, wonders, healings, touches from God have you had? How come we're not spiritual giants? How come people are not bringing people to us and saying they need to be healed, saved, delivered? Why isn't the word going out? Because you and I are guilty of looking at whatever we got in our pockets, whatever we've got in our hands, whatever, and we limit our ability to us. Now, let's get real for a second. Jesus was a man. He didn't even have money. He kept that in a treasury, and he didn't even know what was in the treasury. He didn't care. He just went about doing the things that the Father wanted him to do, not checking his provisions before he did it. Why? Because he knew the Father. And he knew this, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Father had more than the need. It was already there. It was already there that the Father had more than the need. He never doubted that. Here's our problem. We doubt that. Why? Well, because we're so bad. See, isn't that a handy excuse? I wonder if those tens of thousands of people could give a flip of how good the disciples were. Or were they just interested in getting fed? Now, why did you say that, Stan? Somebody tell me why I said that. Not about us. It's not about our righteousness and our holiness. It's about who we know, not what we know. It's about who we know that has it, not what we have. And if we go back to, it's not about us, then maybe we can start giving people things that we don't even have in our hands yet. Those guys that went around passing out food to tens of thousands of people, they could not have handled, they did not have the ability to handle the food to feed thousands of people. That weighs too much. And what they were doing is they had a pan, and they were going around with this pan and saying, how much? More? How about you? And the pan never emptied because it was more than they could handle. What if all of a sudden God said, okay, I'll give you everything you need to feed 15,000 people? You'd be dead because it's not about you. When provision is given to other people, it's bigger than you. Let's always remember that. It's bigger than us. when it's going through us, it's bigger than us. Well, how about when it's just dealing with me? What if I need my one need met? It's still bigger than you. Don't get in the way. Don't say, I can't handle it. Don't say, I've been so bad. I don't know enough. I haven't practiced enough. I haven't seen enough. That's looking at what you can do. What you can do. What can I do? You see, I've already stated that what I can do is in the future. It's not right now. We put a tense on it. What can I do means out there. What I need to be approaching God with right now is, what have you already done? God, what have you? Jesus looked up to heaven. How are you going to handle this? Maybe I can't see it, but I know you've already handled it. You hear me? Maybe I can't see it, but I know you've already taken care of it. It's already there. I'm going to give you 9 or 10 things here about what we must see and know. This is not a suggestion. If we want to not only have our needs met and abundance, we also want other people's needs met and in abundance, then we've got to know these things. Number one, if we are staying close to Jesus, if we are keeping close to Jesus, and I'm pulling these from the scriptures we just read. A, we will have questions. Don't be ashamed about questions. If you have them, speak them out, but look into heaven first. Do you hear me? Don't look to your banker. Don't look to your checkbook. Don't look to the ability you have in your hands or your feet. Don't look to your education. Don't look to your abilities. Look to heaven. Will it cause questions? Yes, look to heaven. B, we will walk in a different realm. If you're staying close to Jesus, you're not going to walk where everybody else walks. You're going to walk somewhere else. Why? Because you're so holy. No, because you're walking with Jesus. C, we will be taught a different doctrine. Remember what he said? Don't be deceived by the leaven of the Pharisees. I can tell you, don't be deceived by the world. Don't be deceived by what the news media tells you. Don't be deceived by what your pocketbook tells you. Don't be deceived by what your body tells you. Look to heaven and see what God has already done. Number two, if we walk with Jesus and obey, not just walk with him, but if we walk and obey. A, needs will be met, ours and others, because the supply is already there. We're just tapping into it. B, if we walk with Jesus and obey, there is abundance. The abundance started after the people were filled. Abundance didn't start and feed the people. Abundance started after the needs were met. Our problem is that we are bound and determined to pray that our needs are met. And we're afraid to ask for more than that. You know why? Because we don't look to heaven and see that God don't even know when your needs are met. He's just full of abundance. He just dumps until you say, please don't do it anymore. Why? Because that's who he is. I can't tell you why. I just know that's who he is. When you fall in love with him, you figure out, Bill said it this morning, you just feel that when you're praising God. I don't know how to return what you've given me. I can't even figure out how. He says, don't try. Just praise me and go on. Just keep receiving. My ego's not built up in your praise. Our friendship is built up in your praise. It's already there. Number three, when we mix walking with Jesus, obedience, and faith, here's what happens. A, out of the word we just read, brings healing. Brings healing to me and brings healing to others. B, we are shown miracles of all types to draw others to Jesus. What is a miracle? Feeding 15,000 people with two fish and five loaves or whatever. That's a miracle, is it not?
Yep.
Healing's a miracle. Everybody will say that. But having everybody fed, and then after they're full, there's enough to carry me for a long time. See, it never says that they gave out those baskets back to the people. Do you notice that? There was abundance left over for those that did the work. All miracles are shown, all types, but it's all not about you, it's all about Jesus. It comes from, it's already there. See, when we're obedient, when we're following Jesus and we have faith, we get instruction. And we set an example to all around us. You know, Jesus, I mean, He was moved by their hunger. But the abundance that God showed at that moment was not about hunger. It was about revealing God.
Amen.
Set an example. Causing a walk. You see what I'm saying? It's easy to jump up and down if you've seen all these people filled and there's abundance left over. Whoopee! Well, what's this about? God's not into whoopee. He has reasons for everything He does. The reasons are to teach the people. You fed the thousands or the 10,000s because you were setting example. They got fed because they were seeking Jesus. One was out of seeking Jesus, the other one was out of obedience. You choose the side you want to be on. C. Now let's bring instruction example. D. Provides provision and needs met to all. If we obey in faith, it's not all about us. It meets other people's needs and our needs. It gives other people abundance and it gives us abundance. Now remember, I said I'm bringing this because there are some needs met, represented here, but we have a need as a church. We need to get out of this thing and get into a building that can be kept clean and neat and smell the same every time we go in, and we can help others. E, after the needs are met, it gives great abundance to those that listen and obey. Let me back up and say, being full is in abundance. But to those that did the work, a workman's worthy of his hire, right? To those that did that faith work, going out and doing the work, taking a chance of being embarrassed by not being enough food, they get the true abundance. They get a little work in it. They had to pick up lots of baskets that were left over, but they got the abundance. That makes sense? All right. Let me begin to end this then. Everything that we have received, now just let's put a benchmark that's today, at this particular moment. Everything that we have received, everything that we need, everything that we have in the future, even abundance, is already there. God didn't beckon His kitchen staff to whip up a bunch of bread so He could feed people. You hear me? It was done. It was already there. He didn't say, I need to take bruises and stripes. Listen to me carefully. He didn't say, I'm going to run out back, take bruises and stripes so I can build up some healing for these people. And this is before bruises and stripes. You got that? Healing was before bruises and stripes. How come? Because it was already there from before the foundations of the earth. We need to stop being ruled by calendars and clocks, finances and worries. It was already done. Jesus stepped out there and said, by my bruises and stripes, you're healed. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. You haven't done it yet. Oh, yes, I have. You just haven't seen it yet. Come on, that ought to shake you just a tad bit. See, we think that Jesus had to go to the cross for us to be saved. He did. But it was done before the foundations of the earth. So salvation was already there. He just manifested salvation. Healing was already there. But after these thousands and tens of thousands were healed, then He went ahead and took care of the work. Come on. Somebody ought to get a little excited now, because we think that the way we get things done is to work hard when the work's already been done. That doesn't mean it's not going to require work. We may have to manifest the work, but the provision's already done. Doesn't make sense, does it? Neither does God. See, you're trying to measure it by what you understand and know. That's your sense. And let me tell you something. Me, the biggest of all. We are senseless. We ain't got a clue. And the more we understand that, the smarter we get. Because the less we look at what we can smell and touch and feel, and the more we look to heaven and see it's already done. Everything we need, everything we received, everything we have, past, present, and future, it's already there. I got my cage rattled a little bit this morning, right about the time praise and worship started, because God revealed to me that my youngest granddaughter was going to be run over by a car. Plain as day. Backed over right in the church parking lot. Not fake, real. Now, what do I do with that information? Is that a prophetic utterance that can't be changed? I changed it. You know how I changed it? Because I know the deliverance was already there. It was just waiting for me to call, to look to heaven and call upon it. Jesus was moved with compassion, just like you saw me move just then. But He didn't take their hunger as a final statement. He took it as a way to minister. Out of what? Out of something that in my pockets is not there, in my abilities not there, but He looked to heaven and said, oh, there it is. It's already there. So now we just say, okay, God has provided, the provision is there, pass it out. Then we're required to give praise. Thank you, Lord, that it's done. Now I want you to read something. Flip back to Genesis for me. Turn back to Genesis. We can't love Him enough, guys. We can't serve Him enough. We can't trust Him enough. He is gracious enough to provide when we're hungry, to provide every need that we have. And we say that as a present thing, but it's already past. It's done. Genesis 1, I'm going to show you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. I'm going to start there, and then I'm going straight into Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 2, chapter verse 1. Thus the heavens, look at this carefully. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Oh, well, that's just referring to. That is referring to. He saw everything that He had made. It was good. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. That means everybody that was ever intended to be born, everything that was ever intended to grow or be born was finished. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? We go along thinking there's a new day every day, and to God it was already finished. It was already there. He had seen everything. He understood everything. He took care of everything. All right, let's go on to the second verse. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Isn't it amazing how He says over and over, it's already done? Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day, and He sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Now listen, if all the work's done, what else needs to be done? That's a simple question. You come up with a fast answer, but it takes faith to say it and live in it. Verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, and before anybody was born, and before anything had ever happened, it was done. Now, how many of you believe that? You're looking at me, you're not smiling. And I don't understand that. It's done. It's already done. What? Well, He's not creating any more money. He's not creating any more provisions. Did you understand what that scripture said? He'd already seen the 15,000, the 20,000, the 30,000, all the people that need to be fed, and he already created everything that was needed to feed them. And all Jesus had to do was say, it's time. We need to learn to say, it's time. It's time for healing. It's time for faith, most of all. But it's time to believe that the healing is already there. The provisions are already there. My strength is there. My knowledge, my wisdom, my understanding is there. It's already there. Why? Because you'll never reach up and take it if you don't understand it's already there. You can't take something that's not there. Now, this is not going to get anything but better. Yeah, we need to quit saying get her done, and we need to say he got her done. God's plan for us has always been there. It's always been good. Evidence is Jesus. It has always been greater than our wildest dreams. The plans are just waiting for faith to cause them to manifest. How much faith does it take? Ask the disciples. The dumber than the post disciples. They saw it twice and still didn't believe it. These were not mighty, mighty men of faith. These were mighty men of obedience. The Bible says if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed. Anybody ever seen a mustard seed? You just about have to have a magnifying glass to see a mustard seed. So God is saying to you, even if I have to get a magnifying glass and look at you, if you can prove to me you have one mustard seed size of faith, I'll do things bigger than you can imagine. I'll move mountains on your behalf. That's what the Scripture says. I'll cause seas that you can walk on. I'll divide the seas if you can't walk on it. All you got to do is just believe me, the size of a mustard seed. I got the picture before I even got up out of bed this morning of these Christians. I see these Westerns all the time where they're going down the road and in the wagons. You know, there's a big wagon train. And the first sign of danger comes up, they circle the wagons. Circle the wagons. I'm asking God, what's that got to do with anything? He said, the very vehicle I gave you to get someplace, you circle and defend. I'm not asking you to be on the defense. I'm asking you, I gave you provisions to get out and take. And this is what he said. Get out of the circle. Uncircle the wagons and get moving. Uncircle. That's not even in the dictionary, by the way. I made that word up out of a vision. I would tell you a dream, but that'd make me an old man. Y'all got to know the Scripture, know what I'm talking about there. Uncircle the wagons. Begin to use the vehicle that I've given you, the Word of God, to go forward instead of walk in defense. Go gain ground and prosper. As we move forward with the building project, as we move forward, watch how I say things. As we move forward, we will see provision and abundance as we move, not as we sit still. Jesus did not tell his disciples, sit and watch the people being fed. I'll say it again in case you missed it. Jesus did not tell his disciples, sit still and watch the people fed. He said, take what you have and begin to feed. Can you get that picture down? Take what you have and begin to work. When they did what he said, they saw the provision and the abundance that was already there. Why are you harping on that already there? Well, because the provision came out of nowhere. The Bible says a couple places, heaven was opened. Y'all get that picture? Heaven was opened. Do you know what that means? That means that thing that was stored up for you is just coming. In other words, already there. You want to do something exciting in your life? Just let that already there start getting into your spirit. And when you see a hollow pot spot, a spot that's not filled, you say it's already there. It's the follow-up or the extension of you've got to see Jesus in everything. What I've already been talking about, we are committed to see Jesus in everything. What does that mean? Success is already there. I don't care what you've got on you, coming out of you, coming through you, or don't have. If you'll just see Jesus in that and say it's already there, then God knows what you're talking about. And eventually you'll figure out what you're talking about. I'll say that again. Eventually you will figure out what you're talking about. The disciples going around feeding those people, Their mouth was open bigger than anybody else's. Because every time they dumped out what they had, it was refilled, and they're going, where in the world did that come from? And they did this over and over. They did it, I don't know, there was only a dozen of them. How many thousand times did they do it? And every time they're going, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. And the dumbness of humanity, after it was all over, 1,000 times repetition per each, at least, they forgot it. I used a barrel pump yesterday about 100 times, and I'm going to remember that forever. My arm remembers it right now. Do you think I might remember it if I'd fed 1,000 times I saw miraculous provision come? Well, I've had 1,000 times 1,000 miraculous provision, and I'm not forgetting. I'm not forgetting. I'm going to remember it's already there. I'm going to remember to see Jesus and everything. I'm not even going to go into it, but ever since I started talking to you about that, I have seen some things change in my own physical life that you can't believe. I'm not going to tell you. I'll just tell you it's happening. I've been out several days just working my keister off, and my wife's going, "What's with you?" I see Jesus. You need to say, "I see Jesus in everything." Start saying about your husband, he'll look better. Might help him, boost him, get busy. If we want abundance in all aspects of our lives and those around us, we must move in faith. Now, y'all understand this. You can sit in your easy chair and look out the window and say the lawn needs to be mowed and it will never get mowed. Y'all got that down, right? So if you want the lawn mowed, you get up out of your easy chair, go for the door and get the lawnmower going. Then you can expect something miraculous to happen. But you got to get moving. It might get done in a tenth of the time. You might end up with 1,000 more times a yard than you used to have. Don't question God about how the miracle manifests itself. Just go do something. It's hard to get a paycheck without doing something. Remember that about God. It's hard to get a paycheck without doing something. But your paycheck, you need to expect that the paycheck is much bigger than you ever imagined. If we want abundance in all aspects, move from where we are with what we have, expecting our move to accomplish more than we expected. Y'all get that? Yeah. Expecting that what you accomplish is much greater than what you expected. Yeah, I said it exactly the way I wanted to say it. Right. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to drive this nail, and out of that nail I'm going to expect something miraculous. Amen. A lot bigger than one nail driven. Our faith action will bring forth what is already there from God. Our faith action will bring forth what is already there from God. Only our faith action. Now last Sunday, after church, there was a person that came to me and he offered all the cash that he had. Not just cash, all the money that he had in towards the purchase of the church. Well, let me tell you something. All the money that you got, all the money that all of you have, not everybody, but most of the money that you have put together in here probably not going to purchase the church. It's going to take something bigger than us. Okay? But I'm going to tell you that person has already opened the windows of heaven. Just by the heart move, by the faith move. You hear me? And that means not only is he going to be blessed beyond his imaginations, so are we because he did it towards us. Because God doesn't know how to open the windows of heaven up just enough to hit one person. He hasn't figured that one out yet. When he opens the windows of heaven, he hits more than one. Come on, that may sound facetious, but I believe that. Another couple came to me and they pledged $50 a month towards the purchase of the building. Now I know that was a sacrifice, they thought, because they believe that they don't have that much extra to blow around. Come on. But I know that it opened the already there. Remember, the already there is after everybody is fed, there's a lot left over. That's what already there means. After all the needs are met, there's abundance. What they've done is opened up some things that God wants to give them. and their ignorance, their tightness, whatever, you can blame us for whatever, has sealed that off. And all we got to do is get a little liberal, and we get dumped on. By the way, there's things worse than being buried under abundance, Patrick. You said a while ago about that. If they got it all at one time, they'd be buried. There are things worse than being buried under abundance. Now, that is a problem. You don't know it yet, but you will. When you get buried under abundance, you have to figure out what to do with it. Because the Bible's against you building bigger barns to store it in. So therefore, your seeding process has to get bigger. An action combined with a faith that God knows, that God never lies. Do you really believe that God never lies? Really? Then you believe that Genesis chapter 2 means what it says? Chapter 1 and 2? That the work is already done? So every abundance story, everything that meets the criteria of abundance and needs met has already been done? Including the healing? Harry, I never thought about that until this message about the healing. It started off with healing. Healing hasn't even happened yet. In our chronological understanding, it hasn't even happened yet. And that the first thing Jesus does is you're healed. Trying to tell us something. Before he even accomplished the work was done. I can start off with the work, and before I even finish the work is done. It was done before I even started the work. Well, I guess I'm the only one who's going to get excited about that. You know, I've worked an awful lot of years trying to make things happen when it's already happened. The work that I haven't done is understand that it's already happened. And I'm going to get this down. That may be the biggest work I ever do, but I'm going to get it down. See, getting the understanding of this is some of the hardest work. Then we have an easy walk of faith. Here's what Jesus said. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And faith without works is dead. If you don't remember anything else that Jesus said, remember that. He that hath an ear, let him hear. One of the things he said was, faith without works is dead. That's right. I'm sold. I may not be sold enough, but I'm sold, and I'm getting more sold. I can remember. Listen to me carefully, guys. Before you're qualified, you're qualified. We need to remember that above all things. Before anybody says, I'll follow you, the abundance is already following you. Jesus could have never provided this without already being provided for. And he hadn't even gone to the cross yet. Why did you say that for, Stan? Well, because some of us haven't taken up our crosses and followed him yet, and yet we're still qualified. I don't understand this. I just know that perfect does not bring abundance. Those that listen and obey are walking in abundance. Those disciples, man, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for their faith. After reading this, I don't understand them at all. But they were qualified to participate in the blessings of others and blessings. Okay, I need to say that again to you, I guess. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for their faith. I don't want anything. I would not use any of these disciples as a hero to me because they did not set me a good example. But they were already qualified to give blessings and receive blessings. That's us. It hasn't got anything to do with our perfection or our perfection. Whatever you want to, whether you're a cat or not. You'll get that in a minute. It has to do with our, here's what Jesus said. Said to his disciples, take this and feed them. Can you take this and feed them? Can you at least do that? Because if you can do that, that's what Jesus commanded them to do. And they got a blessing for that. Now, they were kind of slow on the uptake. But see, I'm not talking to people that are slow on the uptake. You're going to learn this the first time, right? Say, by faith, yes, it's already there. I'm going to learn this the first time. I'm going to go out and start trying this. Right in the midst of a battle, I'm going to say it's already there, and I see Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to do it until it's real. I'm going to say it until I see it. Amen. Remember the formula? It's not see it and then say it. It's say it and then see it. It's already there. I need a whole bunch of money. No, you don't. It's already there. But how come I don't see it? Because you keep saying you want to see it. But you don't really want to see it. You know how you see? He that hath an ear, let him hear. What if the disciples would have turned back to Jesus when he said, here it is, go feed them. What if they had turned back and said, with this? Are you crazy? Which is exactly what we do to Jesus many, many times. We just don't want to put ourselves in that position. We'll do it with little things like, he'll say, go witness to that person. Me? It's the same thing as I don't have it. Why do you don't have it? Because you don't know that you already have it. What if we could just believe that there's this big tube attached to the back of us by faith that's attached to heaven. The other end of it is attached to heaven. And when I reach out my hand, things just squirt all over people. And it's needs and abundance. It's all there. And it's healing and it's salvation. The reason we don't do that is because we don't understand that that's the way God pictures it. That's the way He wants us to do it. Touch me. See there? Well, I didn't see anything. It's already there. Why? Because I already got it. I'm attached. I'm hooked up. I see it. Come on. You're getting big for your britches. I know it. But I got some britches that are already there that are big enough to fit me. You know what I'm beginning convinced of? I don't think that my ego is large enough to handle God's ego. Let me say it another way. I can't think of me as egotistical as God thinks of me. I'm using a slang term. It's not ego. It's not ego. My faith is just right now not big enough to receive God's vision of me. I'll say it another way. I have yet to see the huge things that God wants to do through me. But I'm going to keep looking to heaven. See, the difference is when Jesus looked in heaven, he didn't just see those particular thousands fed. He saw the next thousands and the next thousands and the next thousands. You know how I know that? Because he didn't even act like it was a big deal. he didn't go around and say, whoopee, look what we did, whoopee. He just said, now that's done, go get on the boat. Isn't that what the scripture said? And we think we got to dance and shout. No, I think we have the true vision. We just got to say, it's already there for the next. Let's go find out the next. How big, Stan? The world? You know what your limitations are? There aren't any. Oh, let me say it another way, if you don't like me saying it that way. Your limitations are the size of God. Whichever way it helps you approach it. Whatever you think God is limited to, that's what you're limited to. God's a man, he can't lie. Listen again, Genesis. That's Genesis in you, your Genesis. There hasn't been anything happened since that day that God didn't already see and already take care of. That's what your Bible says. Maybe a surprise to you, but it's never been a surprise to him. And whatever it takes to take care of that situation, in abundance, it's already taken care of. You know how I know that? You know what the proof is? I've seen some of the biggest, rottenest, dirtiest, lousiest sinners in the world saved. Are you hearing me? There is nothing too big for God.
That's right.
Nothing too big. I don't care what's been done. I don't care what you've done, what you've said. I don't care what's been done against you. There's nothing bigger than what God's already provided. See, when he took Jesus, let me say it a little bit different. We always talk about the perfect lamb. Let me say it this way. When he gave Jesus as a sacrifice to pay for your sin, it was big enough.
Amen.
Forget about holy enough, pure enough, whatever. It was big enough. Whatever problem has ever approached you, the Bible says it's common to man. That doesn't mean it's all equal. That just means it's common. What does that mean? That means it's already taken care of. You can't bring one big enough to be uncommon. Please tell your wife that. Tell your friends that there's nothing that's ever happened to you that's uncommon. It's already been taken care of. It's so common that God goes on the seventh day, which is his work. Now his work is resting in what he's done. He goes, Harry and me and all of y'all are just up there pleading, oh God, it's terrible. He goes, Why? Not because he doesn't like us. It's because he knows it's taken care of. Amen. There's nothing we can do to ruffle his feathers. Nothing we can do to upset him. Yeah, there is. My experience is one thing that'll do to upset him, and that's disobeying. That upsets him. That's a personal experience that I had with him, and I can guarantee you he can't get upset. He got a big hand, and he hits hard. That's called chastisement. Fortunately, it was somebody else's chastisement that I saw, although I did get it upside the head one time. You saw that. I am so thankful that I have a God that's so real and so alive to me that I don't have to depend on somebody else's version of it. And I recommend that to you mightily. God is real. He's alive. And he's got enough personalities in him to deal with yours, to be one with yours, and still be the head of the house. I was thinking this morning about some people that don't have any praise in them. I don't understand that, guys. I don't understand it. I can't imagine you being in the presence of the sight of the sound of God and not have thanks and praise in you. And the more I get to understand about it, I've shared some of it with you right here this morning, the more I have to get up and praise. I walk in praise. I become the praise. That's what heaven is I become pure praise. There's nothing to limit the praise. But we need to start some now. Amen? All right, stand with me. There was not a better message preached in the entire earth than what was here this morning. Why? Because it was already there. I just needed to let it rattle across my vocal cords, right? He needed some vocal cords. I gave them to him. Be friendly. Be cordial. Be insistent that people come to our church. Be a pain. That second bunch of people, that 4,000, they were drugged to hear this. They were drugged. Not drugged. They were drugged. They were pulled. They were pulled by testimonies. They were pulled by actions. They were pulled by people that said, you've got to see this. That's how come they followed. And I got some news for you. You're going to see some things happen here. Amen. But you need to see them happen in you first. Amen. You really do. And I don't know how to tell you to do this, except you've got to get close to him. You've got to walk with him. And you've got to obey. This is a good time if things are not right in your life. Let's make them right. Amen. It's a good time if we need to pray with you. Now, don't tell me about your hangnail or your string beans that aren't growing. I'm talking about if you need a closer relationship with God, you need to tell us right now. Do it now if you do it. If you need it, do it. Don't be bashful with God because he'll be bashful with you. That's my version of what the Scripture says. If your faith is weak, you can ask Jesus to pray for your faith. You can ask us to stand with that. There's sin in your life. Right there, Richard, before you run over me. If there's sin in your life, you need to get it out so that God can get this blessings to you. If you just don't know Jesus well enough, now's the time to ask for the acquaintance. There's no cards to sign. There's no restrictions. You meet him, and he'll take care of the rest. You don't have to sign a contract for the Ten Commandments. You just meet the Ten Commandments. Amen?
Amen.
See, I don't have anything to offer, but it's already there.
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there's enough here right now that we'd get out of here about 1:30 if I prayed for everybody. Because I'm a long prayer. Jesus is a quick hearer. He doesn't need long prayers. I haven't learned that yet, but I'm learning. Richard, you're qualified to be healed.
Amen.
It's not a work that you do. It's a work that he did. It's already there. Are you still seeing Jesus?
Yes.
You still see him even in the darkness?
Yes.
You still giving him praise for your eyesight?
Yes.
Good. How about for the provision that you haven't seen yet?
That's terrible.
Okay. It's already there.
Amen.
Now you just need to do whatever God tells you to do in a faith move. Amen?
Amen?
What's wrong, Karen?
I just want to be closer to God.
Well, you got closer to me. That's a poor second. I'm not trying to be facetious here. I'm trying to bring our focus back on what we need to be focused on. My prayer will not ever do anything. It's your prayer that counts. It's your prayer that counts. What do y'all need back here? Jesus. You don't know yet? That's fine. I got a, my best friend in Texas was the biggest car thief on the face of the earth. The police were after him. The IRS was, everybody in the world was after him. Even his wife praying for him every day. And she, he went to church with her to get her to shut up. Sitting right over there. Bigger church, so it's right over there. And he said, when they gave the altar call, I got up and I don't even know why I got up. I don't know what in the world I was doing. When I thought about it later, I must have been crazy. But I'm going to tell you, something happened to him that is the best testimony I've ever seen. Because his changed life was already there. All he had to do was ask for it. That's all he had to do. So let's do this now. Father, you know the needs that are represented right here, right now. You know the need that's burned in Richard's heart and in Karen's heart and in Bob's heart and every heart in here. I feel it in more hearts than more out of here. In my heart, Lord. This lady says she wants to meet Jesus. That's not hard to do. He wanted to meet you.
Amen.
He took the first step. He loves you no matter what. You know, that's hard for me to understand. It's hard for you to understand. We have to accept it. It doesn't make any difference what you say or how you say it. But in Jesus' name, lives changed. Lives changed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the little ones. They're your seed. Thank you, Lord. Right now we pray that their heart speaks louder than their brain. Holy Spirit, move on them now. Let them receive right now all the gifts that God provided before the foundation of the earth. A changed mind, a changed heart. Not to fit my likeness and image, but you do the work, Lord. You do the work. Touch. Touch right now. Right now. Save to the uttermost, the Bible says. They are saved to the uttermost. Their friends, their children, their relatives won't recognize them. They won't recognize them. Who are you, they say. Praise you. Do you believe what I'm saying is possible? That just... you can see things different? You really believe that? You believe there's a Jesus that can do that? I do too, because I met him. You can't talk me out of it, because I met him. What was that the other day they said? That a witness, no. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. I'll remember it in a little bit. What you need to do is say, I believe in Jesus. Do you really? I believe he saves me. Don't do it if you don't.
No, I do.
Because we won't frown on you at all, I promise you. Because I trust Jesus more than you. I don't mean to be mean, but he's hot. He's something. I believe I'll never be the same. Can you say that? All right. I believe you. I believe Jesus believes you. And I thank you. Let me tell you something. I thank you for doing what you did. I thank you for doing that. But it's nothing compared to what Jesus thinks right now. You need to meditate on that. Think on what you've heard and think on him. And watch beyond belief what happens in your life.
Amen.
Watch the little one change.
Amen.
See there? She's already happy. Praise the Lord. Anything else I need to address? Come on, don't be bashful. It's just, for me, it's a real letdown after I leave here. Because I stay here a while. Amen. By the way, let me remind you, everybody in here that wants to minister to others, God's bank account can't be tapped. And the reason I know that is because I know that every one of these people weren't saved. Those 15, 20,000 people, not everyone was saved.
Okay.
If I believe the scripture, there's a lot of them that weren't saved. And yet, God didn't mind spending his money on them.
Right.
Or his provisions, if you like it that way better. So don't be afraid to put your time, your energy, your faith, prayers into people. If they don't show up, so what? You're not in charge of filling heaven. Amen?
Amen.
All hearts clear? All hearts clear. Father, we give you praise right now. Jesus, we give you honor and glory. We exalt you as the healer and the Savior, the one that changes and the one that thrills and fills. We love you, Lord. I thank you for being personal to me. I thank you, Lord. If you never ever did anything else but save me, it would be enough. But I thank you that you keep pressing me and saying, I want more for you, I want more for you, I want more for you. So I give you praise and honor. Teach me to listen with an ear that hears. Teach me to have a heart that trusts. Teach me to walk in the authority that I've never tapped into before. Teach me, Lord. Control my mouth, control my walk and my talk. Teach everybody in here to pray that thing right there. Control my thought processes. Control my mouth. Control where I go and what I say.
Amen.
And if they look at me funny, I'll just laugh at them. Because I have a different realm that I walk in.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Use us to feed the thousands as we're being fed.
Yes.
Teach us to accept from heaven the abundance that you have planned. Teach us to use the words, I see Jesus in everything, and it's already there. It's already there. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Teach us your ways. Teach us to look to heaven and see what you saw that day. And then teach us not to shoot off like rockets, but to use what we see to draw others to Christ.
Yes.
We love you, Lord. Take this word and make it alive and real, not for today, but for eternity in us. And then teach us to give it away, to give it away, to give it away, so that it becomes eternal in many. We love you, Lord. Now, as you cause us to walk in abundance, also put the responsibility and loyalty so that we don't spend it on us, but we use it for the kingdom of the living God, knowing that we can't outspend you.
Right.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Everybody say, I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We exalt you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and one that cannot lie, so that those things we heard today are truth. They change us and set us free in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.